Following interview was completed, further checking indicates that references to the summer of 1962 should really be 1963. This is Charles Lutz. We are interviewing Joe Bash on November 10, 1986 in Minneapolis. Ewald J. Bash, known to most people as Joe, was on the initial board of Holden Village and its first program committee beginning in 1961. And was in fact one of the first youth staff people to be involved in the development of the village as we know it today. Joe, you were, according to the records, you were on the first interim committee. Your first meeting you attended, according to the minutes I've been able to find, was in November of 1960. I think you had been to the village even prior to that, on a visit to the village to check it out.
Yes, I went in October, by a small plane to Truk.
Seaplane, probably?
A
pontoon float plane.
And I remember, seeing a very, very pretty valley, but I really thought this isn't going to be very much on the right side of the mountains and not the left side. Got back into the mountains where it was quite villages, and I went back and saw the original dwellings that they had tore down that were the
miners' village.
But of course the chalets were. I looked at it and I thought, oh, what a huge job we've got
to renovate the place.
Yeah, you just wondered whether we weren't really buying ourselves a white elephant.
We were there really having a look for the ALC youth office, which was just being put together. That was the beginning of the American Lutheran Church that year. And Dave Brown, the youth director, had asked you to go and have a look, right?
Yeah, and I remember Gil Berg was there, and of course he wanted it very badly. I think
yes. Gil was, of course, the first first chairperson of the interim committee, and then the first interim director, everything. Well, you were up there before it was put in shape to receive guests.
There was nothing there when I...
What impressions did you have of its possibilities for program?
Well, I didn't see all the programming that eventually occurred, but you could see that it was a very lovely place, that it was far above the average camp.
Yes. You then served on the first national board, which was organized the following spring. I think the first meeting of that board was in May of 61. And you served for several years, I think until the mid-60s, on that board. As one of the representatives of the National Youth Offices, who were originally sort of the program caretakers or shapers for the village. That was the idea. The original vision was that it would be primarily, its primary constituency would be young adults.
Right. In fact, there were many, many visions of it. Stallman had some ideas. They're a very great program for that first
62.
Yeah, we have many, many kinds of programs. Some of them staff there, of course, of
teaching staff too.
And of course, one of the big events was that 2 weeks or so.
Stehekin.
Yeah, Stehekin. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's interesting to me now, just looking back, one of the weeks that I wanted was a program on
for people who were going into service.
Yeah.
Yes, it was called a boot camp, pre-boot camp.
Yeah. And there was absolutely no interest in it. This was 5 years or 6 years before everybody in the country was talking about it.
Before Vietnam, yes.
And there was just a complete interest of very many others.
So it was offered, but there were no takers.
No. I don't know, I can't remember the
owners. Yes. Alan Jean Swihart.
Yeah. And I came there and I was really a lot of things. I was the guy who should make it run.
That was now the summer of 62.
Yeah.
Because the summer of 61, there wasn't much program. No. There was a little bit of LBI program that summer.
See, the LBI...
But it was mostly work camp.
Yeah, the LBI brought in work camp people, and they undoubtedly had program.
Well, Bergstrand was there with work campers for a month.
Testing off to discover what...
Were there for the whole summer.
Yeah. And very damp and very cold. Buildings that were pretty nice, but it was very cold, and you had to I get your own logs and make your own fires, and I was not a great fire maker, and all of us have just...
Where was the cooking done that summer of 62? Was it still out behind Chalet 1? Or was it
no,
in the...
it was in...
It was in the dining hall?
Yeah.
Bertha Pearson?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the first summer, 61, they were cooking outdoors behind Chalet 1, and then by the second, by 62, they were inside.
Yeah, it was... The electricity, where I was trying to, I had programs of my own and stuff along with making the camp happen. I had devotion.
Sort of the chaplain for the village as well.
Yeah, I was writing new music and trying to get some things going. And plus the fact that in some ways, Eichberg and the group that he brought in were young adults, but they were young adults who loved to hike, that was the purpose for the place, was to be there until Hinderly came that summer. I've lost track of precisely when it was. Of course,
wasn't yet the director.
He wasn't the director. He was trying
to... The next spring, he became director.
He was trying to decide whether this would be the place. Very nervous about it, and Mary, particularly, she's an ugly person, and we
said... to do it, and they spent 14 years there.
They really made the place, there's no doubt, that... discovered a lot of things that we did discover, that hiking was good, and that I was so busy that I never took a hike.
Is that right?
Not until the last old weekend.
And Heart Lake.
Mm-hmm. I never got there.
Mm-hmm.
They got worn out, and Bar was asleep and rode on my back all the way back, and so we barely made it there. And we had our first fishing experience. I've never fished in my life. And we came all beaver pond, and threw our line in and caught a fish within 30 seconds. We didn't know how to, what to do with a mosquito killer, and finally got the object there. We threw it in again and caught it immediately again. And I said, we can't continue here because I don't know how to take care of all these fish. So we brought these fish back, and it was fine. The kids enjoyed it very much. Question of what Holden was to be, just back and forth, a lot of real, and Farrell wasn't on the original committee. A lot of different terms in this glorified kind of Bible camp. Everybody had their own idea of all of the people.
Really began to take the shape that it has. But even then, that summer, there was still some carryover of youth department planning for program that was done basically before Carol arrived. Evolution over several years before it really emerged as the village we know today.
We had one situation
of the three church bodies, Missouri, LCA, and ALC.
Yeah. And so we had strong interest in it becoming something that's centered in youth, conflict below the surface about...
What was your constituency that summer of 62? What kinds of people came, do you remember?
Well, it was broad. We had very few high school youth. We really discouraged high school youth from coming. So it meant primarily that families did begin to come over. I remember one good week that we talked about how to build.
Did most of the people who came that summer also get involved in work projects? Was that part of the plan?
Well, it could be. That slips. I think they were outdoor people. A lot of visits to the mine.
Yeah. Well, he still does it.
Yeah.
He still offers mine hikes today.
Large thing, and with the lights off at 8 o'clock, we would get down about working in semi-darkness, trying to get my devotions ready for the next morning, plus trying to figure out how the next day would exist as a... and the two children were... Barbara was very finicky, and it was very difficult.
So you were there that summer from, what, about mid-June until the end of August?
Last month, the soldier group...
Air Force chaplains.
Yeah, and I didn't have to worry.
Well, you served on the program committee, chairing it much of the time, from 61 to 65. What do you recall from those years about the transition from a primarily young adult focus or general family or intergenerational focus which the village developed?
Well, I think in many ways Carol began to take the load of what the program director... Carol was not a highly organized spontaneity of of Carol is the old arguments between, say, Bergstrand and Stroman and myself, or we really had a decided...
Program direction more and more was shifting from this committee of youth department people to Carol Hinderly, who in fact became the shaper of the program fairly early on from 63 and beyond.
Yeah, I think for a while, I don't think it would be now so much that way, but I think for a while he really wanted to almost forget that youth had been a little bit later, and he just...
You don't have any deep regret about the way Holden developed.
No, I think it's developed very well. I think I think once you get those kind of executive direct programs, particularly begins to diminish in your own... I really, in 60...
Coming place with its own identity.
Right.
And you didn't have to worry about it anymore.
No.
It was going to make it.
Right. And I of course had no idea that Carol was that kind of person, anybody who had been in questions all at the same time.
Yes. Great creativity and unpredictability.
Yeah.
And always a good measure of humor and hilarity at
right.
the village.
Yeah.
When did you go back after the mid-60s? You were not at the village for some time.
No.
When did you return?
I think I returned for the first time.
Yeah.
You had pictures. I know for Inga, she did not like the village. Out as a you were living in a postcard.
Too pretty.
And she never really.
He was back there with you in 80 or 81.
Right.
And then it was different without little kids.
Yeah, there was no problem in that direction. She took the nursery back. There was a difference. But all the things that were happening, all the excitement that was there, very happy.
Yes.
And they got to frightened in all my life when I was up there on top. And it was a scary experience for him. So there were little things like that that occurred, and they climbed. I guess it was Buckskin. I thought it was Bonanza. I still have recollections that it was Werner. Who was
Werner Jansen? Yes.
By radio back and forth, plotting with our
Werner was climbing.
Yeah, he and his mother. And the reason I thought it was Bonanza was because everybody was climbing.
Bonanza was farther up the valley and above Holden Lake, or is.
Yeah.
Buckskin is right next to Copper Peak, just above the village.
Yeah, Buckskin is very close, and it's an obvious one to go up. But he claims it was Buckskin. I went back there that summer. I thought about how you would live in the mountains, which was very good.
Was Gil around all summer of 62, as a kind of manager?
It runs in my mind that he began out from there. That was the closest place.
Out into the mountains.
Yeah. So there were, and he, of course...
Well, it was clear that there could be only one leader at Holden, not two, and I think it was... resolved that it would be Hinderly, and then Berg withdrew more and more. For a while he served as business manager under Carol, but that didn't work for the long term either.
Yeah. I was there since I was an interim program director for the summer. There was a good deal of question.
I think it's true that without Gilbert's leadership in 60 and 61, it never would have gotten off the ground.
That's right. All these people had different...
They all had their role.
Had their role.
Yeah.
And each in his place. And I was really much less of a... I had so many other things that I really was doing. I mean, all... And
were you back on the staff, the teaching faculty, after 62?
I didn't think I was very much involved from there on. I hoped and I found that it was happening, that it would occur.
It certainly has.
It's all by itself, really. I went out for a number of...
Well, what else do you recall about those early years that you'd like to share with the people who are listening to this tape? Are there any other memories?
Fair Oaks Restaurant.
We're in Minneapolis.
Yes, and we would make our decisions about what was going to... None of us was particularly right about what was going to happen, so it was... A little bit ridiculous all the way around, I guess, of course, but we...
And the others were Wilt Bergstrand, the director of the Augustana Luther League youth program in those days, just before the merger into the Lutheran Church in America, and Mert Stroman, who had been director of youth work in the Lutheran Free Church,
and
by this point was directing something called Lutheran Youth Research.
Which gave him very much of a picture of what was... And so much of... our meetings there and all the kinds of meetings that we were having in those days centered on the sorts of things he discovered, and much of our early youth work was answering the kinds of questions that helped they raised. But when we got particularly other kinds of youth and youth research contradicted some of the earlier, and they caught a couple of fish and he came back.
Like eating fish?
Yes.
Or she liked catching fish?
Oh, no, not catching them,
but eating
them.
Yeah.
So that was the big moment there.
How old were your kids when you were there that summer of 62?
See, Barb was 3 and Mike was...
They've been back to the village since.
No. Never at all. Mike, have a summer that was open to go to Holden.
Yes.
I don't know. I did like all the staff that we had. They were all really trying to do so. Also, not having people come for several weeks.
Yes.
Had a lot to do.
The recognition of Holden as a place to go took some years to develop in the church.
Right.
It
yeah.
wasn't automatic. For those early years, a lot of people had no idea what was there, where it was, how you got there. Its remoteness, I think, for some people was a deterrent. And so you were part of that experience of...
Yeah. Whether it would really work.
Whether it would go, whether it would make it.
We really felt it might become a regional place of importance. The press shortage came along, and now it looked as if the regional was the
yes.
important place. But that's...
That's not about the last 10 years. It has really been, for the summer months, full and
yeah.
over full. They have to turn people away. People can't get in during the week they want to get in necessarily because it's filled up.
Yeah.
And so I think for the summer program last decade, there's been no question that
Carol set the course and that he was basically right. Most of the things that we talked about got questions about... a conscientious objector. Winter program is still on the way, but I think that's even up.
And it has been often noted that that early vision of having it as a young adult place for program purposes didn't really come out the way it was anticipated. But in fact, it became a young adult place through the volunteer program staff.
Right, yeah.
And for almost all of the years of it because of all of those young adults who come and work there.
Who come and have a great time there.
And basically work for the room and board that they get.
Yeah. I've found through the years that there have been many that needed both young and old.
Break from their life at that point. They were in transition from something to something else, and that Holden provided a place for them to be.
I have a ministerial friend that just spent...
Well, thank you, Joe. You were certainly an important part of those early years in shaping the program of Holden and in representing the national youth staffs who were probably what made it go as a national enterprise. They were the national church presence that made Holden at least get beyond being just a regional center and another kind of church camp. It became something different than that because the national churches bought into it, and that came through the youth offices.
Right. Yeah, I wrote several articles about the camp in the early days. And
we've been talking with Joe Bash, who was on the youth staff of the American Lutheran Church in the early 60s, from the beginning of the merger time in 1960 through about 1973, wasn't it? You were on the youth staff, 73. Joe was involved with the early Holden program committees and the early Holden national board, and we've been reflecting on those years in this conversation. This is Charles Lutz. We're talking together in Minneapolis on November 10th, 1986. Joe, thank you very much.